The 25th Amendment is present in our Constitution in order to remove a president from office. Are we there yet? I mean, yesterday, Joe Biden asked where a dead congresswoman was in the crowd. He sincerely looked at everybody and says, "Where's Jackie? I thought she was going to be here to help make this a reality." At this point, I feel bad for the guy. The dementia is on full display. But maybe people don't know about dementia and Alzheimer's and how it masks itself, and they continue to be in denial. Jackie Walorski's family has even stated that they feel sorry for Joe Biden after this gaffe. We're going to talk about it. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee, whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome back, Bold Americans, to another episode. Yesterday, Joe Biden really showed that his mental acuity is not quite what you would want of your president. And I feel bad for him. I have Alzheimer's that has run in my family before and seen dementia. And I actually am seeing dementia in family members right now. And as a result, I can recognize it pretty well when I see it in another individual. Alzheimer's doesn't look the way that many people may think that it works. There are people that can be very high functioning during parts of their days as this disease progresses. And so Joe Biden, obviously, to me, I'm not a doctor, but it looks that his is progressing to the point where I probably wouldn't put him in charge of doing business for me. Certainly wouldn't want him as my president based upon this. And the people around him have got to know it. But he's not so bad that he needs to be in a home or anything like that. He still has his mental acuity enough that his routine is allowing him to get by based on his past. Now, what happened? Well, there was a congresswoman who had created an event that was supposed to be at the White House, but she had died about a month ago in a car accident. Her name was Jackie Walorski. Now, Joe Biden, in the middle of this talk, starts asking people, where is she? He wants to know, Jackie, are you here? This is after he talks about, I want to thank everybody who's here. And he goes, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I think she was going to be here to help make this a reality. Look, she's dead. But for somebody with dementia, somebody with Alzheimer's, this makes sense. Because she would not be dead in his mind. Because with somebody with dementia, they're still living in the past. You can often ask somebody what they had done maybe 20 years ago. And in the early stages, they can tell you every single detail. But that short-term memory is the part that starts going. It's the short-term memory that escapes individuals. They're not able to remember what they ate yesterday. They're not able to remember maybe some of the big details of what they did the day before. And so this, I believe, was the curtain falling down on Joe Biden. This was the curtain showing up and saying, okay, these are the first stages that we're seeing. And as a result, we need to have a conversation about whether or not Joe Biden is fit to serve over the next 2 years, let alone whether or not he should be running again in two more years for another four-year term. And I would even say that at this point that it's not going to happen. Joe Biden may not make it two more years without either him stepping down or the 25th Amendment being put into place. So let's talk about the Alzheimer's stages. And there's different types of Alzheimer's. There's mild, moderate, and severe. It's a disease. It's progression. And normally in the early stages, many people would just have like very mild forgetfulness. You may not know that somebody is suffering from Alzheimer's based upon this. It can take about 20 years for this to progress into end-stage Alzheimer's, where somebody would be living in a nursing home or need around-the-clock care, depending on their situation. In early-stage Alzheimer's, a person's very mild, and I'm sure this is kind of Joe Biden is likely between mild Alzheimer's and moderate Alzheimer's. I think he's probably getting to middle stage at this point based upon my observations and what I'm seeing. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm speculating here. I want to continue to make sure people know this, but I believe that my speculation is based in a sound reality from my own personal experiences in life. Now, in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and maybe this will help you with loved ones in your own family, if you're looking and saying, I wonder what's going on. People may have trouble coming up with the right words or the right names. They might not remember a name when they're introduced to new people. That might have been something that they could have done before and now they're not able to. Maybe they read something and after they read it, they go, wait, what did I just read? Could be that they're having trouble doing some tasks in a social or work setting that they used to come easily to them. They also may misplace their keys or their wallet. Something that is a valuable thing to them can get misplaced or lost briefly. They just don't remember where they sat it, where they left it. And maybe they become unorganized and have trouble with planning. That all stated, this oftentimes isn't always Alzheimer's. This is sometimes just a form of dementia. And it happens to many people as they get older. And during these stages, this early stage, people can begin exercising, increasing their blood flow to the brain. There's some medications that are out there. And there's ways that can help those individuals be still competent and able to hold down their jobs and do what they need to do. And support from others is a way to help them through that. Now, middle stage Alzheimer's, this can last for many years. This is normally the longest stage. It starts off with that mild and moves to middle pretty well after a few years. And the middle stages are where I believe I'm seeing Joe Biden. And this the statement with Jackie, I think, is one that we should pay attention to. There's other things he's done. You can watch the way he walks. You can watch his eyes. You can listen to his comments. Forgetfulness of words. It's different than a stuttering problem of what he tries to blame it on. Joe Biden seems to be forgetful of events. And this has been throughout his career. And when I say career, I mean throughout the last like 15 years. He'll sit there and say he was with Barack Obama at something he clearly wasn't with Barack Obama with, or state that he was the vice president before he was actually the vice president. And so people in the mild stage of Alzheimer's or dementia often are forgetful of events, their personal history. They can also get fairly moody or feel like very like withdrawn and kind of testy within all that. And watching him talk about, you know, COVID and his whispering and kind of this just not normal conversation styles, the way he talks to people, this certainly matches a moderate stage of Alzheimer's and dementia. If you were to ask him to recall certain addresses that he lives at or telephone numbers, some people that have middle stage Alzheimer's would not be able to remember that. I think Joe Biden would remember that. I don't think he's that far into this dementia quite yet. I think he's pretty sharp when it comes to things that he experiences in the past. I think it's going to be short-term memory. But other parts of the moderate part, people may get confused about where they are or what day it is. And certainly we see Joe Biden has been given lists now to say, you need to walk here. You're going to talk about this, this, and this. You're going to say hello to this person, and then you're going to walk stage left out the door. We're going to be done the event, and your handler will be there. This would be something that would be common to help manage somebody with Alzheimer's. Keeping notes, making notes around. Of course, they have to remember to read the notes or that they need the notes. But that's a middle stage Alzheimer's piece. Requiring help as we get a little further in the middle stage for clothing. As president of the United States, I'm pretty sure he doesn't need to worry about his clothes. They're picked out for him. You know, here's the suit you're going to wear today, Joe. But that could be a problem. People can eventually lose control of their bladder, their bowel. They might experience difference in sleep patterns. And this might be why we don't see Joe Biden sometimes as public appearances. I'm speculating again. But if his sleep pattern's off, maybe he's sleeping in more. Maybe he needs rest in the middle of the day. This is all parts of middle stage Alzheimer's. We have heard that the president is resting, right? We've heard that even during the campaign 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. Well, I guess no, it was 2 years now. He's been in for over almost 2 years coming this January. So yeah, this was more than 2 years. an increased tendency to wander or become lost. We've seen him get off Marine One and go the wrong direction from where they're telling him to go. Right? This is a moderate stage of Alzheimer's. And then having personality behavioral changes, delusions, compulsive, repetitive behavior, having like hand wringing, tissue shredding. We've seen the hand wringing. If you watch the video of him, watch his hands. Watch them very carefully. So during this middle stage, people with Alzheimer's or this form of dementia, they can still do daily activities, but they need assistance. And certainly the president has assistance around him. And I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him because as I've had loved ones that have had Alzheimer's in my life, you know, we want to protect them the best that we can. I would never, ever allow simply for my family, if this is the case, I really, truly feel heartbroken for him that his family has not put his health and his personal well-being over the ambitions of the office of President of the United States of America. I feel horrible for him. It's abuse in many ways, if we ever find out that this is true. They have abused this man. And so I think there should be elder abuse criminal charges if we ever find out it's confirmed that Joe Biden has dementia or Alzheimer's and people propped him up simply because the orange man was bad and we needed somebody that could win against him. And they felt that that was the best option in order to win. I really feel bad. Now, in the last stage, this is definitely not where he's at, but because I want to educate people about Alzheimer's today, the last stage of Alzheimer's is people will need round-the-clock assistance. Often they can't live at home anymore. They get angry very easily. They can be combative. They could try driving. They could try getting into cars that are not theirs, wander off from the house to be lost forever. They just lose awareness of all recent experiences and their surroundings. Everything becomes foreign to them. And that's the scariest thing of this late stage Alzheimer's, that the person becomes just a shell. They don't have the faculties that they had before. And so you'll see changes in their physical abilities. This could be the way they walk, the way they sit. And then eventually they lose the ability to swallow properly. They may have difficulties in communicating with people. They can get pneumonia very easily, get more infections. And so at this point in time, people definitely cannot be working and you can't hide it whatsoever. And so hospice gets involved and we get to the kind of late stage care of Alzheimer's. All right. So I think that it's very possible that we are seeing those signs that he's got dementia. He's got possibly Alzheimer's as part of that dementia. Not all dementia is Alzheimer's. I should just make sure that we know that. But we definitely are seeing the signs there. So what can we do? Well, first, I think it's on him. I think it's on him and the people around him to say, all right, you know what? This is going to be a larger problem for the country. There's a lot of stress as the president of the United States. Stress is a trigger for Alzheimer's to become more forgetful. So the staff that he has around him are likely just doing the job, which many people have said since the get-go. They've said, well, Joe Biden isn't the one making all these decisions. Obviously, he's a kind of a puppet for somebody else making an agenda. And this would make a lot more sense if we knew that he had the early onset dementia or whatever it may be. It's not even early onset at this point because of his age. He's directly in that prime time for men to get dementia. But it would make sense to put that team around from the get-go. And this is a lot different than many of our other presidents. There certainly are teams. I think George W. Bush had, you know, Dick Cheney and his team that was heavily influential, for better, for worse at times. But you get to like George Bush Sr., the team wasn't probably as big. Ronald Reagan kind of was more what he wanted to do. Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. Sure, there was a team, but like I still feel like he had kind of the final say in setting the tone with the people he put around him. That doesn't seem to be the case with Joe Biden. Joe Biden's people are certainly setting the tone, setting the certain agenda per day. This makes sense. Dementia, right? Absolutely makes sense. And I think the most telling part of that entire story at the beginning about Jackie Walorski is when asked for comment from her family, Keith Walorski, one of her brothers, said, hey, you know what? Biden was trying, and he went beyond that. He says, bless his heart for trying. Yeah, it was a big mess up today. Inexcusable? No. Unforgivable? No. I'm not going to hold it against him. I just feel sorry for him. That's what he told the New York Post. I just feel sorry for him. And I think that's where I'm at, too. I feel sorry for him because this is not his fault. It's not his fault that he made this comment. Now, Karine Jean-Pierre, she gets in front of everybody right afterwards, and they ask about this gaffe, saying, you know, how could this happen? And she says, oh, you know, Jackie was just on his heart. If you were signing this bill that she worked on, this would be on your heart, too. I mean, it's not even good, the type of smoke screens that they're trying to put out at this place. There's no good smoke screen to try to explain this. So, luckily, if Joe Biden doesn't want to step down and Congress members find out that, hey, you know what? We really got to do something about this. If Democrats can get over themselves for 2 minutes in order to see what's best for the common part of our country. I'm not saying Kamala Harris is better, but I am saying I'd rather have somebody who's thinking than somebody who's letting somebody else do the thinking. Matter of fact, I often think that Kamala Harris was the insurance policy to ensure that Joe Biden serves for the full 4 years, because I don't think anybody wants Kamala Harris. I don't think she has any positivity behind her. She talks like a moron. But that's a story for another podcast day. The U.S. Constitution has instructions for how we could remove a president from office. And it's when they're unable to discharge the powers and duties of that office. Now, sometimes people go under surgery and they use the powers to change presidency until they come out of surgery. But what happens is if that's not the case, we file that there's either mental illness or a serious health problem that would support removal of president. Right, it would be the inability to discharge the powers and duties of the office. That would be when somebody is deemed to be unfit for president. So the answer would be whenever the vice president and majority of the cabinet are ready to do this, they can do so. The amendment doesn't say when a president is unfit to serve. It doesn't say it needs to be an official diagnosis based on Alzheimer's. It doesn't state what type of treasonous act somebody needs to do to test it. It simply states this: whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives the written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president. So, basically, if this were to happen right now, Kamala Harris and the majority of the cabinet would have to tell Speaker Pelosi and the president of the Senate that they think that Joe Biden should be removed. And once that message is delivered, guess what? Kamala Harris would be president. That's one possibility of how this works. Another possibility is that Congress could pass a law to evaluate whether or not the president is able to discharge those powers. And then Nancy Pelosi and the rest would have to follow up, and a commission would need to review this, and Congress would give a verdict. And this would go not with the vice president, but rather whether Congress would vote for it. And so Congress would need to, there's like a timeline on this. I need to look it up, but I think I have this right. Congress has to go within 48 hours of that committee coming back saying, this is what we believe, to do a vote. They then have 21 days to decide whether or not to believe this medical diagnosis or whatever it is that's unfit for serve. If the president says, well, I want my powers back, I want the presidency back, the vice president and the majority of the cabinet can still declare they believe that the president is unfit, and Congress would then have to vote on that as well. All right, so to remove a president from office, both houses must vote by a 2/3 majority that the president is unable to discharge the duties of office. And if they can't figure that out within 21 days, the president would stay in office. And then, like I said, the vice president would take over as president, and then that vice president appoints a new vice president. That's even what's crazier. They appoint a new vice president. So I think that this would be a conversation that maybe we should have. We should likely talk about this in our country. If Joe Biden has dementia, and as we're seeing as what's coming out now, we need to talk whether or not he's fit to serve. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break right here. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
Yeah. People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America out loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. So the first half, we talked about Joe Biden and whether or not he was fit to serve, dementia, Alzheimer's, if anyone else has seen that or if it's just me. Now let's talk about Donald Trump. All right, Donald Trump, our former president, has went on to Truth Social and caused quite a stir. He is saying that he would like to head up a team to arrange a peace settlement between the Ukraine and Russia. And during that time, he says the entire world is at stake. That he sees that since the pipeline has now been sabotaged, it could lead to a major escalation or even worse, war. He goes on to say U.S. leadership should remain cool, calm, and dry on the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines. This is a big event that should not entail a big solution, at least not yet. And by big solution, he's talking about military action. He also repeated his claim that he's been saying over and over that the Ukraine war would have never have happened if he had been president and offered solutions to the situation. He goes, do not make matters worse with this pipeline blow up. Be strategic, be smart, brilliant. Get a negotiated deal done now. Both sides need and want it. The entire world is at stake. I will head up group, ? So Trump has this want to de-escalate the tensions with Russia. But if you remember, Trump got in a little bit of trouble back in February because he called Putin and his justification for Ukraine as a genius move, as being savvy, right? He called him smart for playing Joe Biden like a drum. And so this is the first time that, I can remember that Trump is now all of a sudden saying, well, you know what, this whole thing can be stopped with some diplomacy. We can pull out a peace deal. Back in April, he did say, now, not later, people need to figure out a peace deal, not when everybody's dead. So, I mean, he was on this, but I guess what I'm saying is he was calling the guy a genius 1 month. How's that going to play to Ukraine when he's trying to do a peace deal? I'm pretty sure when the Ukraine sits down with Donald Trump, they're going to say, okay, so the guy who called Putin a genius for attacking us in February is now the guy that's going to broker a peace deal. Why was he being a genius? Now, maybe Trump will say, hey, well, this is exactly why. And the people of the Ukraine will go, oh, yeah, that sounds good. But I'm not sure that that Donald Trump is the best person to show up and do so. Now, maybe there's some things we don't know. Maybe Donald Trump's got the connections. Maybe he's got the ability to put things. But I think that this is a talking point of a campaign. And I'm not sure that a lot is going to get done simply by Trump trying to broker the art of the deal with Russia. I don't see Vladimir Putin at this point going, you know what? He's right. We're gonna make this happen. We're gonna take this and make that a better world. Thank you, Donald Trump, for trying to broker peace. We're trying to figure out how to get peace over there. It's a good thing that you finally offered. We were worried that we're just gonna sit in Mar-a-Lago and golf and have a good time with your investigations and would never get involved. Now the whole thing got kicked off, and I talked about this with the Nord Stream service, and then President Biden vowing to bring an end to Nord Stream 2. Mysteriously at the same time, which made people say around the world, especially like the Polish government even said that this was the actions of the USA, right? We then saw we had warships off our coast of Alaska. So things are escalating, right? We're seeing this. And so now we have Donald Trump trying to de-escalate. What's supposed to happen? I don't know. What do you guys want? Do you want Donald Trump involved in this? Do you want him leading our free country into this conversation, or do you feel that this is just another political ruse in order to try to keep himself as relevant in the conversation? Part of me thinks that he might be good for it. Part of me believes that he might be able to sit people down and say, okay, how can we come to some type of compromise here? How can we make this work? I think he has the skills to possibly make that work. I think he has people around him to possibly make that work. I just really am worried about how do you go from one side of the argument to the other side of the argument from February till now and get the Ukraine to listen to you. I think that that's a huge problem. I don't see how that goes well. Yeah. The other part is you can go to like Tulsi Gabbard. And she said, short-sighted leaders don't understand the most basic tenet of war. It's unpredictable. What's very predictable is the suffering and causes. Anyone who cares about the well-being of America and the world must push for a ceasefire and negotiated settlement to bring an end to this war. So does Tulsi Gabbard, is she saying that she's supporting Donald Trump to go do this? So those were her comments immediately after he made his comment. You know, look what he did in the Middle East during his time. Jared Kushner, I talked about this before. He helped broker some good peace. What he did was pretty monumental during that time. I think that it was very positive during that time. His efforts with Abraham Accords earned him 2 Nobel Peace Prize nominations. People don't want to talk about that. And there was a 3rd nomination for his efforts to de-escalate tensions with North Korea. So when you look at Donald Trump, I guess you could say that he's the peace president. He didn't cause any new wars. The more I think about this, maybe Donald Trump, maybe we should be sending you over there. Let's get a deal done. Let's make it happen. Let's see what happens, right? I mean, can it get any worse? President Dementia over there, he's going to forget that Ukraine is even being attacked by Russia at some point in time. So, yeah, maybe this does make a little bit more sense that Donald Trump gets involved. I want to know. Feel free to reach out to me. Do you think that this is a positive, a negative? I think I already know what the answer is that most people are going to tell me. But feel free, at RealGregBolden, Twitter.com. Tell me what's going on. Now, there's also a story that the left is really pushing that Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm not going into this entire story because, quite honestly, it's tabloid garbage. It doesn't matter if it's somebody on the right or the left or neutral. It doesn't have a place in the world. Apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene, her husband, has filed for divorce. Now, people are saying that because she always talks about her love of family and American values, that these allegations that are coming out about her, and I'm going to say again, just like I told about Joe Biden's speculation, these are allegations, that she can't love her country the way she does. Look, she's a hypocrite. Look, this is two grown adults that we don't know what's going on in their relationship. We don't know how her husband treats her, how she treats her husband. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter. That's behind closed doors. It doesn't matter to me. It shouldn't matter to you. This is just another smear campaign. Whether this is AOC, I called that out when it happened, or now Marjorie Taylor Greene, it just doesn't have a spot in what we should be talking about. There are certain things in people's personal lives that should not be what you feel should be justified as a news story. So I don't like the fact that this is what we do. We go to the ad hominem attacks. We go to the ways to get people and say, this is the way that people should have to lead. No, people make mistakes. People are in complex parts of their life. Leave Marjorie Taylor Greene alone for this. Don't know what's going on in her life. Don't care what's going on in her life. All I care about is policy. If you are an elected official, how do you vote? What is your policy? And are you ethical in your decision-making? Are you representing us well? Or are you making money off your country in the name of trying to protect our freedom? They're the things I actually care about. What you're doing in your personal life, who you're sleeping with, what type of divorce you're going through, none of that is relevant to my life, nor should it be relevant to your life either. Again, tabloid journalism, tabloid mentalities. This is no different than keeping up with the Kardashians. All right. Now, another study has come out that stress may be good for us. Stress actually can protect the body from injury and disease. Man, I'm going to be immortal. This is great. So researchers in the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine say the immune system can actually benefit from a little stress. And this is one of the first studies that shows that chronic stress may have a beneficial impact instead of a negative effect. Normally, we always hear that the adrenal glands, we get adrenal fatigue, that stress can be very destructive. And so this is another part of the conversation to have of balancing science, right? Balancing science is a good thing. Figuring out, like, hey, should there be another side to this equation, this conversation about stress and what it does to the body? Yes, it should. We should have this conversation. What does stress do to our gut, right? We know that stress can give people inflammatory bowel disease. We know that immune systems respond to this inflammation or injury to severe inflammation. So to have this study now that stress may actually stimulate the body, are they saying the same type of stress, or is this like less stress? is this, what type of psychological stress is this that people are experiencing? Is this chronic daily stress? I don't know. So now more studies should be done. But you know what? We're studying chronic stress. We're studying all these things, trying to get better information, but there's still yet to be a good control group. You know where I'm going with this. A good control group on what's happening right now in 2022. And I'm just going to leave it at that right there. And then you've heard me talk recently about antidepressants, that sugar pills that has about 15% more effective, or about 2 weeks ago, one of the studies came out and said that scientists really don't know how it works. It doesn't work nearly the way they thought it does. Well, guess what? Taking antidepressants long-term, which there's not a lot of data about that. We were just talking to Kim Witsack a few days ago, and she said there's no long-term data on people taking antidepressants. Well, it could increase your risk of heart attack. That's right. Taking antidepressants long-term increases your risk of heart attack by almost double heart disease. So researchers at the University of Bristol found some concerning associations, is what they put it, for people that took these pills over 10 years. They saw an increase in heart disease, death from cardiovascular disease, and earlier death from any other cause. The experts said they could not be sure it was depression itself that was pushing the risk of heart issues. when that was echoed by other experts who were reviewing this paper, and said people should not be alarmed by the findings. Okay, that's fine, but are we going to follow up on this? I hope so. This is published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, and the data included over 200,000 people from the UK aged 40 to 69. So SSRIs are the most commonly prescribed antidepressant right now, and there's about 80% of the group taking one of the drugs that fall within the SSRIs, those 200,000 people. And people taking antidepressants were compared with those not taking that for about those 10 years. And those on SSRIs had a 34% increased risk of this disease, cardiovascular death, and a 73% higher chance of death for any cause. So even though they're saying, hey, people shouldn't be concerned, the data, the science, right? Don't they tell us to trust the science? The science that's out there shows that, yes, there is some type of correlation here between the two. So if this is something that you take, you're concerned, I would say talk to your doctor about, you know, long-term usage. Many people just get put on the stuff, as Kim and I spoke about, and left on it with no clear route how they're getting off. And I think that that is one of the greater crimes that we have in our country and in our world right now, the hooking on of big pharma and then not being able to get away from it. And that's the news that's fit the print today. So whether it's Joe Biden, dementia, Donald Trump brokering a peace deal, or stuff about antidepressants and all that stuff, hopefully you learned something in today's show and it was helpful to you. I know you had many things you can listen to today, but you sat here with me. And for that gratitude, I am absolutely thankful. I hope that you guys all have a great rest of your day. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.